Tampa Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
There, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. My guest today is Stephanie Peterson, who has written all of the greatest books on superfoods. Stephanie is an expert on the healing power of foods and has a really inspiring story to share about her journey. She and her son ate their way back to health after getting overloaded with heavy metals in the aftermath of 9/11. And I don't know about you guys, but my thoughts are turning to healthy foods after all of the indulgences of the holidays. January rolls around and it's time to put the chocolate bar down and back away slowly. In general, I'm a pretty healthy eater and I eat clean. Except when I don't. And when I don't, I really suffer the consequences. When I was younger, I was so much more immune to the effects of slipping in a little sugar, some weed, and some carbs into my food. But when I hit midlife, it just seems to show instantly in my skin, in my hair, on my face, and of course on the scale. As I was looking over Stephanie's website before the show today, I got all excited about eating healthy again. And I really think we need people like Stephanie to inform us and inspire us about eating healthy. And I don't know, people just get all riled up about food. It's such a triggering thing. And there's a new fad diet every other day, and many of them are weird and scary. I've tried a lot of them myself, my personal favorite being the grilled cheese and chocolate milk diet, which sadly did not work for me. And I get just like I want to throw up my hands and give up food altogether because I don't know what to eat. Good thing we have Stephanie. She's going to help us get sorted out. She's going to tell us all about the healing power of superfoods. And before I know it, we're going to be all back into our skinny jeans. I just know we are. So welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you, Lisa. Oh, my God. I was laughing through that whole thing. That's awesome. I love the sound of that cheese and chocolate milk diet.
Yeah, grilled cheese and chocolate milk diet. It's
oh my god, that's awesome.
Got me through my childhood. What can I say? It's going to be good, right?
I know, mine too. Throw in some Campbell's soup and we're good. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So, no, it's fun. Yeah.
Well, tell me about your take on food because I am one of those people that has tried every diet, jumped on every diet bandwagon. I don't know what to eat anymore.
Yeah.
What do we do? What do we do now?
Well, you don't eat weird and you don't get scared. And I love that you try every diet that comes along. I kind of do that too. I do it just so I know what they're about. And when someone asks me about them, I can say, oh yeah, I did try the cabbage soup diet and here's my take on it. But I think there's always people out there who like a good project. It's a very human quality. We love to get all excited about something. We love to rally the troops. We love to focus. And often it takes something new to get us to focus. Unfortunately, it really is the boring stuff that works. It's the healthy food. And by healthy, I mean stuff you can kind of find, stuff that you may have grown up with or you knew about or your great-grandparents ate, stuff that's in your environment, stuff that's grown in regular old dirt, you know, things that you probably have at your local market anyway. And eating those things in a slow, relaxed way, not eating too much and watching the times of day you eat, and making sure you sleep enough so your metabolism is working, really is a good strategy for weight loss and for weight maintenance.
Wow. Well, I'm really interested in the story that you have about how you came to this. Can you share a little bit of what happened to you and your son?
Yeah, I was downtown. I'm a New Yorker. And I was downtown with a student. I was a writing teacher. And at the time, and she was thinking of going to grad school. So we were looking over her grad school applications, and she had been in my creative writing class. And this was a day that the planes hit, And everyone started to walk. All the trains shut down, all the buses, the whole town just really did shut down. You know, dirt, soot, debris, other things everywhere, emergency vehicles everywhere, screaming, just you couldn't see, everything was black. So all of us had to walk. And so walking in that stuff, I breathed in a lot. And in the days after, that cloud hung over Manhattan and Brooklyn and most of New York for quite a while. And it got to the point where you would be out in the park. And I was pregnant at the time with my son, who was born a few months later. And I remember a police officer coming up to me saying, "Ma'am, you shouldn't be out here. You need to get inside." You know, this was this old burly police officer, someone that you wouldn't even think would be worrying about air quality. But long story short, my son was born a few months later. He was born a little early, a really terrible birth. He was incredibly jaundiced, and he was jaundiced for a really long time. And he never stopped crying. And he cried for 4 years. And he would sleep maybe at 20-minute intervals, but then wake up. And he just could not regulate. Everything set him off, from a breeze to someone standing too close to him to bright colors, you know, like oranges and bright pinks set him off. Temperature changes set him off. So many things set him off. The pediatrician would always say, "Oh, you're just a new mom," you know, that whole story. But finally, we were pointed to somebody who said, "You know what, why don't you guys get tested for heavy metals?" And it turns out that that is what was creating the intense sensory problems that he had, was heavy metal overload. He had off the chart levels in every metal you can think of, from tin to aluminum to, you know, lead, mercury. They were all there at very high levels. And once we chelated him, we put him on a healing diet, cleaned up his gut, which was very damaged from all this. It took a few years, but once we did, we had a kid that we knew somehow, somewhere was in there. We knew that there was a kid in there, in that crying baby's body that needed some help getting out. And we got him. It was not easy, but it was food. Food and nutrients did that. And I just sent me, you know, back to school to study nutrition. It was so, so powerful for me to see that, how powerful food could be.
Wow, it's an amazing story.
It's, you know, it's funny for people, you know, our age who are in, you know, their 40s or 50s, or even those of you who are in your 30s or younger, we grew up with parents perhaps that didn't give a lot of thought to the power of food. So they were making sandwiches with maybe a, you know, a American processed cheese singles and, you know, white fluffy bread and canned soup with weird things in it. And it's just what everyone did. And no one realized that those things in those foods actually could cause some problems down the road. It's just, it's so powerful what food can do and what chemical ingredients can do, for good and for bad.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people now really think about cleansing, like sort of food cleanses. Mm-hmm. It sounds like that's kind of what you guys did, right?
We did. So what we did is we took him off. A lot of times when one has a lot of heavy metals, they will have like a biofilm, or they will have a lot of candida in their body, and they will have maybe some digestive issues. Their digestive tract will be kind of raw and permeable. So you have to heal that. So we took things out that damage that area and our hearts digest, like gluten, casein, soy, corn. We took out so many things, white sugar, all colorants, all artificial flavors, all emulsifiers and stabilizers, all that went out the window. And we did that for a while, and we could see some changes, and we knew it was time to go deeper and make more changes. So then we started to add herbs and specific superfoods that we knew could actually leach some of these toxins out of the various parts of the body where they were hanging out, like the brain, you know, the liver, the skin. Different chemicals like to hang out in different parts of the body. So, you know, that took a little while longer too. And once we started to do that, his skin started to clear up. He had terrible eczema, you know, and he started to become less reactive. He was able to go to sleep for longer than 20 minutes. He finally was able to fall asleep like a normal person, you know, without having all these crazy things that we used to have to do for him. So it was definitely a process, but it was doable and it worked and it was impressive and it was natural and it just felt like a miracle. It just felt like a miracle.
Well, I love miracle stories, so thank you for sharing that. And can you just give me a little definition on superfood? Because that is a term that I've heard a lot, and it was occurring to me that I don't actually know what that means. What does that mean?
I know. A lot of people think it means packaged foods from the Amazon that cost $14 for an 8-ounce pouch. You know, I mean, that's what a lot of people think superfoods are. But here's the definition that most nutritionists use for superfoods. A food that is unusually high in phytonutrients. A phytonutrient is a plant chemical, basically a plant nutrient that gives the plant its color. So that thing that gives salmon its pinkness, or that thing that gives sweet potatoes its orangeness, is really, really dense in nutrients that help us humans. So it is something that gives a lot of nutrients per calorie, more so than other healthy foods. So these would be things like sweet potatoes, blueberries, black currants, beets are amazing, salmon, walnuts, chia, things like that are very, very high in nutrients. Kale is another big one. Coconut is one. Yeah, so there's a lot of them out there that you probably eat already, if maybe not daily, maybe you eat them once in a while. So you do know these things.
Right. And how do we bring them more into our diet? Like, what do we do to get more of them?
Yeah, so if you are not eating superfoods regularly and you don't like to cook, you have so many options, you know, with hot bars and whatnot at places like Whole Foods. But if you do enjoy preparing your own food, start looking for recipes. You're welcome to go on my site. You can go on some of the cooking sites. There are so many great websites out there right now that have great recipes with superfoods. There are books out there. There are amazing resources. Get in the kitchen and play around. Make some mistakes. Make some experiments. Make some food. And aim for at least one superfood a day if you are in regular kind of average health. If you're trying to heal a condition or you're trying to speed things up or you're worried about aging, it could be very helpful to make sure you have one superfood per meal. So that could look like for breakfast having maybe an omelet with sauteed chopped kale. And maybe you might want to have a green drink with that. For lunch, maybe you might want to have a bowl of vegetarian chili that's filled with sweet potatoes and lentils and beets. And maybe you might want to have a side salad, maybe with, you know, quinoa and some of your favorite greens and a nice dressing. Then for dinner, you could have salmon and some sauteed veggies. Or if you're vegan, maybe you could make yourself some falafels and add some ground walnuts in there with the chickpeas. And you know, for snacks, it could be things like, you know, a pomegranate or a cup of berries with some pumpkin seeds over them. So it's really easy to fit these things into your life. You just have to kind of remember. And those of you who love packaged foods, you kind of have to make room for the good stuff. So don't let all of your food be from packages. Go ahead and have your packaged food for lunch, but add the chopped kale salad. Go ahead and have your pizza for dinner, but add a half a pomegranate and maybe some sauteed kale. So start adding superfoods in to what you're already eating. Could be very helpful.
That's great advice. Makes me want to run right over to your house for dinner.
Yeah. we had for dinner is we had pork and black bean and avocado, which is another superfood, and sweet potato burritos. And that was really fun. We made the tortillas ourselves. You know, we used some coconut flour and we rolled them out. And I had a little extra time today to do that. Normally, it's maybe something from Trader Joe's or Whole Foods augmented with something homemade. But yeah.
Wow. So I know you have a book about cleansing, and that's something that you do with people, that you sometimes run big groups of cleansing, and you have kind of a do-it-yourself cleanse on your website, which I thought looked really awesome. But tell me a little bit about your philosophy and your take on a cleanse.
Yeah, so the word cleanse is very popular, and people use it in many different ways. So a lot of you will think of water fast or water and lemon juice fast when you hear the word cleanse, and that is a cleanse. A cleanse is anything you do to get rid of toxins and stored water weight. You know, if you're feeling a little puffy, maybe from eating too many carbs or from eating too much gluten, a cleanse will help flush water out of your system so you won't be so puffy. So my cleanses are whole food and beverage based. So a lot of superfoods and a lot of green drinks and a lot of red drinks. In most cleanses, you get rid of certain things like gluten, like dairy, even yogurt, like coffee, like caffeine, like alcohol, anything that encourages your body to hold on to stuff, whether it's water or toxins, gets taken out of the diet during a cleanse. So, and anything that makes your body alkaline gets taken out of your body, taken out of your diet during a cleanse, because your body does not detox when you have alkaline, an alkaline state. So I use foods and drinks. We have a cleanse coming up on the 27th, and it's a winter cleanse. So we're using a lot of soups and teas. Often people will feel kind of cold when they cleanse because they are getting rid of a lot of things and they're eating a lot of raw foods. Traditionally, a lot of people eat a lot of raw foods during cleanses. During winter, that's really uncomfortable. So it's important to think of the weather when you do a cleanse too, and kind of change things up accordingly.
Sounds great. So your cleanses are, would they be like, you know, you're just doing juice or you're doing shakes or?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in my cleanses, we start out, the first day is a caffeine-free day. And for many people, it's the first day they've gone without coffee and tea since they were children. So we have a day or two getting rid of that, and getting rid of gluten and sugar. So we get rid of those three things first, and we all do it together. And people complain, and it's very hard. So we try to make it really fun. And then the next day, we start with a green drink in the morning, and then we'll start to add in certain whole foods. So we eat. We do have food. And we'll have a very specific alkaline breakfast, a very specific lunch, and a very specific dinner. And there'll be plenty of beverages, but yes, we do eat whole foods.
And what kind of result would somebody have, like if they did that for a little while, like what happens?
Yeah. So when one detoxes, one can detox from anywhere from, you know, a day to a month, and you're going to get deeper results the longer you do it, obviously. So most of my detoxes, and the one coming up is a 7-day. And so if you're doing this for 7 days, you can expect to see anywhere from 5 to, you know, maybe 8 pounds lost. Some of that's water weight, some of that's fat, and you will, some of the other really exciting things that people don't realize are very exciting until they experience them is your skin becomes incredibly glowy, which is really fun when it's your skin. You know, when you see those women and men who have this amazing skin, and you're thinking, oh my God, your skin, you will have that skin. And it's really fun to have. You will lose cravings, which is really interesting. So once you take this stuff out and your body becomes really alkaline, you stop craving the 3 p.m. brownie or your chocolate. It's really interesting. And you don't want all the wine at night. And you really find you can be fine without the coffee. You don't have any central nervous stimulants like sugar and caffeine in you. So your thinking becomes very clear. Your emotions become very stable. You become very intuitive. and your senses become very, very, very fine-tuned, sensitive, and acute. You can feel things and smell things. When you're doing a cleanse, you can smell someone pouring Fruit Loops in the next apartment. Your sense of smell becomes so exquisite. You just become very, very, very in tuned. Further, your dreams become really lovely. A lot of people like to use a cleanse to do some decluttering, to do some vision board work, to do some spiritual work. It's a really good time because you are so open. Your channels are so open. You have nothing hampering your central nervous system. It's really lovely. So you can expect things like that. You can expect your skin to drape differently over your face. You won't have that puffiness under your eyes or under your chin and your or your belly or your upper arms. And you will also see a whiter, brighter eye, and your tongue and gums will be pinker. So you will see things like that. A lot of people feel much more rested and refreshed, and they might have a real surge of energy that, you know, from day two or three to day seven. So there's a lot of other really nice benefits that have nothing to do with weight loss at all.
That's so interesting. And it sounds so good. Like, how come we don't just do that all the time? Is there some reason why you come off that?
You know, it's interesting. I do four cleanses a year. Some of them I do alone. Some of them I do with groups. And there are no people who do one mini cleanse a month. And I think the reason people don't do more of them is it's hard to give up stuff. It's hard to give up stuff. And when you're doing a group cleanse with someone leading it, you're all in it together and it becomes easier because it's a big party and you're all doing it together. When you're alone doing something, it's, my partner's eating chocolate. I guess I'll have some too. Or my kids or... oh, that smells good. I'll just have some. I think that's one of the reasons. It's not easy to go against what everyone around you is doing. So I think that's one of them. And I think another is people just don't know what to do. And so when they're giving up things, they might feel a little headachy or unsure, you know, especially when sugar leaves your body, you start to feel a little headachy. They kind of freak out and they think something's wrong and they go back to what they were doing. It feels much more comfortable and it feels safer, if that makes sense.
I always find when I cleanse, it makes me really emotional. Like emotions come up.
Yeah. You become very, very, very sensitive. And again, part of that's because you have no brain fog. You have no cocoon. You have no central nervous system. Stimulant at all. It is just you, the human, the way humans were back in the, whenever they were hiding under, you know, behind rocks, trying to get away from a saber-toothed tiger. That's what you are when you cleanse. You don't have anything, influencing your nervous system. It's very interesting. It's a great time for spiritual work.
Oh, I love that. That's how I experienced it. And if somebody wanted to connect with you, how would they do that? How would they join you in this cleanse?
Yeah, you can just head over to my website. It's stephaniepeterson.com. Peterson is very strangely spelled, a D and all E's. And there's plenty of information there. And you're also welcome to, you know, find me, email me. There's my email address is there. Ask questions. And I'm happy to answer them.
And, you know, besides... I know you work one-on-one with people too, right? So you do take them as concierge clients or with for weight loss and.
Yes. Yeah, so I have a lot of weight loss clients. I have a lot of clients who have allergies or real health conditions that they are trying to heal, whether it's a skin condition or an autoimmune condition. So sometimes it really helps someone to work one-on-one. And it's really, really fun.
Well, thank you so much for inspiring me. I'm gonna think about signing up for your cleanse because it sounds like good. Maybe I'll get Oceana to do it, and we'll do it together, right? And I just I'm so grateful for your time today. It was really wonderful to talk to you, and I'm so inspired. So thank you so much for joining us, Stephanie.
Thank you, Lisa, so much. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, and so if any of you guys are also interested in finding out me about me, you can hit my website, lisacampion.com. I'd love to come over, friend me on Facebook, and you can also download all of the shows now. So the shows are available for you to listen to anytime, any place as podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. And it's super cool to do that. I just think it's awesome the way technology has made radio available to us anytime, any place. So thank you so much for joining me today on The Miracle of Healing. We're on Empower Radio, where we're healing the planet one person at a time. Thank you.